Hi, welcome to Forward Church, pastored by Dan and Tini Tiati, with locations on the Gold Coast and in Logan, Queensland, Australia. You're listening to our Logan Campus podcast, and we pray that this message will empower you to be all that God has called you to be.
1 John chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and today we are concluding a series that we've run through the month of April called God is Love. Would you say that with me? God is Love. And so we want to conclude that. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited about next month already. I'm already into next month because next month we're running a series called Whatever. That's all right. That's the name of the series, Whatever. Everyone say Whatever. Yeah, you got to say it with a bit of attitude, like, you know, like how you'd hear it from, like, you know, a younger person perhaps. But, you know, say whatever. One, two, three, whatever. We're running a series called Whatever throughout the month of May. And this series is simply based on the passages in Philippians chapter 4 that says whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is wonderful, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, think about such things. And so we're going to be diving into that next week. So I encourage you, bring someone to church with you next Sunday. We've got these amazing invitation cards so that you can just take it with you, put it in your wallet and just hand it out, just like flick them out and put them in your neighbor's mailboxes and just say, you're invited. You're simply invited because we want to get God's word into people's lives. So come along and that'd be absolutely amazing. It says, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. A little while ago, well, in fact, you know, a few weeks ago, I went on a trip, a conference in New Zealand. It's not unusual to go to New Zealand for a conference. I go there for conferences all the time. But on this particular time, I went there, and I was hungry for something in particular. You know, like, there are some things, you know, like, I've discovered since moving to Australia 6 years ago. By the way, I left New Zealand, the place of my birth, to come to Australia, the place of my promise. Yeah, Australia's so good. I love Australia. Australia's so good. They've got the best women in all of the world. That's right. I couldn't find a wife in New Zealand, so I came to Australia to find one. And I searched all through New Zealand, couldn't find one. So I went to Sydney and met one, and I took her on my shoulder back to New Zealand. And so there are many things that I love about Australia. I love the fact that we get to enjoy. And I love the fact that you can almost guarantee what the weather's going to be like on you know, throughout the year. You know, almost can guarantee. You know, at least 90% of the time it's going to be fine. 10% of the time there might be a little bit of, like, you know, torrential storms. But the storms only last for 5 minutes. It's all good. Well, in New Zealand, you can really plan like that. You can't have to plan indoors. Anyway, so I love this nation of Australia. I love the fact that the price of petrol is cheap. Oh, yeah, I know. I know some of you lived there for so long. You're like, oh, my gosh, it keeps going up and up and up. And yes, it is. It's like $1.45 or something I saw on the way here. But it's way better than paying $2.50 a litre back in New Zealand. So I love this nation. I don't care how expensive the petrol gets. It's still way better than I used to have it. I love many things about this nation. I love the fact that we can actually, you know, we gather and we celebrate Anzac Day. You know, and it's like Anzac Day is having this revival. It's like more and more people every year, you know, it's been many, many years, about 104 years since that day, and many, many years, and that thing just, like, you know, every Anzac Day, there are more and more kids, and more parents understand the value of teaching their children who paid the price for their freedoms. And I love that. I love that about this nation. But there's probably one thing that I don't love so much about living in Australia, and that is that the Australian lamb is not as good as New Zealand lamb. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So when I went back to Australia, to New Zealand, to this conference, I was hungry for New Zealand lamb. So, you know, we went to the conference, and in between sessions, we went to the restaurant, and I went and ordered some New Zealand lamb. And boy, have you ever been hungry for a certain type of food? And then if you go and have it, and it's not what you expect, you're so dissatisfied. You're full in your stomach, but you're so completely empty in your soul. Nobody knows, just me? Okay. So yeah, I want lamb. And I went and got some New Zealand lamb. And boy, when you eat that lamb, oh, it just like falls off your lips. It just like, it's amazing. I can't even describe it. It's so good. And one of the reasons why New Zealand lamb is amongst the best in the world, they export most of their lamb, by the way. One of the reasons why New Zealand lamb is so good is because they have like the most amazing fertile grass. And they've got more sheep. You know the story. They've got more sheep than they do people. About three times more sheep than people. So, you know, there's something about New Zealand lamb. And I've eaten lamb in America. I've eaten lamb in the Pacific. There's no lamb like New Zealand lamb. One of the reasons, again, it's so good is because they've got so much of it. New Zealand will never run out of lamb. They'll never run out of lamb. There'll never be a shortage, a drought on lamb because they've got so much of it. And they're one of the biggest producers of lamb and exporters of lamb to the world. They will never run out of something that they are constantly producing. Well, I want you to know today that your God is a God who is love. He doesn't do love. He doesn't show love. He doesn't just demonstrate love. You must understand that your God is love. And if your God is love, He never runs out of something that He already is. God will never run out of love for you. There's nowhere you can go. There's nothing you can do. There's nowhere you can hide. There ain't no valley wide enough, ain't no river low enough, ain't no mountain high enough to keep God's love from you. The Bible says in the book of Romans, therefore, there is now nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And here's why. Because God is love. Would you say that with me? God is love. Say it one more time. God is love. And we live in a world that's thirsty for love. We live in a world where people respond. They say things. They do things because they are thirsty for love. The music industry understands that, by the way. The music industry understands that the world is thirsty for love. That's why 90% of the songs that are written are about love. I mean, every second song you hear is about how someone broke up with their boyfriend or girlfriend. Write a song about it. Hello, Taylor Swift. So you know, and throughout all of, you know, throughout all the ages, all of us, you know, I mean, I remember songs when I was dating my wife. We wouldn't be listening to any of this jumping up and down kind of music. We'd be just listening to love music. Come on, slow jams. You remember those days on the, you know, before we had iPads and before we had iTunes and Spotify, you had to listen to the radio. Remember the radio? And what you had to do was that, you know, you had to tune in at a certain time. And at 9 p.m. on a Sunday night, they would have, love songs to midnight. And back, those were the days where when you were in love with somebody, and you wanted to make a cassette mixtape. Anybody remember that? You know, if you wanted to send a playlist to someone that you loved, that was a real labor of love. It took effort. You remember? Like, you know, nowadays, I mean, kids these days have no idea. I mean, they just get a playlist, they download it, they push three buttons, all of a sudden they got an hour-long playlist and they send it to the person they love. Well, when we used to make playlists, it used to take a whole month. You'd get your cassette and you'd play the radio, get the radio station on, and you'd get your cassette player. This, for all the people who are like under 35, let me educate you right now. Let me help you right now, all the young people. You know, we'll come to you in a minute. But, you know, back in the day when I was, you know, dating my wife, it was a real labor of love. You'd put the radio station on at 9 p.m. and then you'd get your cassette. You'd put your cassette in there. A cassette, by the way, you remember those? Like I said, if you wanted to rewind it to the beginning, you'd press rewind, go off and make a cup of tea, come back 5 minutes later, it'd be finished. But anyway, those days, you know, and you had a cassette, and then the radio would come on, and the DJs, they never choose DJs with high voices, hey. And, hi, welcome to Einstein 98 FM. They never do. Hey, welcome to Love Songs to Midnight. It's always some low voice, hey. My voice is not that low, but anyway. And then what would happen is that, and coming up, song number two is, end of the road by boys to men. And you'd be like waiting. So, and you remember those days, like when you want to record, you have to push two buttons. The record and pause at the same time. And when, you know, boys to men, and you're waiting for the DJ to stop talking so you can press unpause and record. And so the, you know, boys to men, and you unpause, and then they'll start singing. And then halfway through the song, the DJ would start talking. And you're like, oh, I have to record the whole thing again. But those were the days. See, the music industry understands how important love is. Multi-billion dollar industry. Because they understand that the world is thirsty for love. Yeah, love is big business in Hollywood. Every second movie you watch is about some love story. Some person broke up with that person. Then some person spends the whole rest of this, or it's like two people. They see each other from afar and they really like each other. And then they go home at night and they dream of the other person. And then it goes to the other person who's in their bed dreaming of that person. And then they spend the whole movie about trying to get them all together at the end. Movie upon movie. Sleepless in Seattle. The Notebook. Yeah, I know you're pretending you haven't seen that, but I know many of you have. Hollywood understands that it's a big business. Because every person in the world is thirsty for love. And every person in this room has two things in common. We were created to be loved. And we were created to love. And so for every one of us, we're looking for someone to love. But also we're looking for someone or something to love us. And so today, there are three things that I want to give you. Three things that if you can receive this thought, this revelation that God is love, there are three things that will help you when it comes to living out your life. The three things that are the result, if you will, of understanding and more than that, knowing a God of love. And the first thing about knowing a God of love, a God who is love, is that when you know God is love, it gives you freedom from your yesterdays. See, one of the most incredible things about marriage is that when you get married to someone, they all of a sudden get to share all of the things of your past. I remember one of the things Ratini and I did when we first got together is we just made a decision. Listen, we're not going to have any secrets in our relationship. We're married. We're in covenant. We're in a commitment together. So we made a decision. We're not going to have any secrets in our relationship. So for the first period of time, we began to talk to each other. Hey, listen, this is what happened to me. This is what happened in my life. This is what happened when I was growing up. This is what happened to me when I was this age. This is my life, good and bad. I want, because if this marriage is going to be true, and if this marriage is going to be last, she has to know me for all the good, the bad, and the ugly. And she has to know all of that so that we can truly have a relationship. And so many of us spend our lives hiding from God, hiding from other people, being guarded. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1 says this, if I speak in the tongues of men of angels but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong, clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And this one, it keeps no record of wrongs. See, you can't truly love me unless you know all of my wrongs and love me anyway. I can't truly love anyone else unless I know them and know everything about them and still choose to love them. And that's why it's so important when you're dating, you know, date for a long time and then truly get married. Because when you're dating, you're not dating the real person. You're dating the fake one. Just trust me. When you're dating all the single people in this room, when you're dating, remember this, you are not dating the real person. You're dating the image of who they think they are. Yeah, yeah. The real person is on the day after your wedding, and when you wake up and go, oh, flip, you didn't look like that yesterday. Come on, somebody. But here's the thing about God. God knows all of you. God knows every day of your life. Before a single day of them came to pass, God knew them. He wrote your life in a book, and it's a best time, it's a New York bestseller in heaven. God knows every day of your life from the beginning all the way to the end. And no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been through, God loves you. And when you understand that God is love, it gives you freedom. Someone say freedom.
Freedom
from your yesterdays. In other words, you don't have to walk around pretending to be anything. You can just walk around in your house. You don't have to put any clothes on. You can take all your clothes off, walk around the house. Make sure that all the windows and curtains are closed. But the point is that you can be free in God. You don't have to, you're not who you pretend to be. You just are who you are. We can't change our past. You don't have to change your past when you come to God. God gives you freedom from your past. He accepts you for your past. So number one, God gives you freedom from your yesterdays. Number two, understanding that God is love gives you contentment in the now. Contentment in the now. Ephesians 3 verse 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, you will never understand how much God loves you. It surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. In other words, you don't have to perform to receive God's love. You have God's love. You don't have to earn God's love and, you know, work to be accepted. You are accepted. Don't work to earn God's acceptance. Understand that you are accepted and then go to work. Can I tell you two different things? But when God is love in our hearts and in our lives, we have contentment in the now. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, if there was ever, I think, ever a day where I think that contentment needs to make a revival, it's right now. Right now. Right now. Why? Because one of, you know, I mean, like everything's a tool. Like television, when it first came out, everyone's like, oh, television, it's so bad, it's television, you know, I heard all these things. Don't watch television. No, television's neutral. Yeah. It can either be used for good or it can be used for bad. Yeah. Social media is the same. People say, oh, social media. Now I restrict restrict the amount of social media that I'm on. I've fasted social media probably many times, probably more than anything else in the past few years. And social media can be one of those things where it's all consuming. And there's so much negativity, so much of it. But, you know, but at the same time, there's been no greater opportunity in all of history to get the message of Jesus out via social media than any other time. And so, but if you're a person who understands that social media and technology, what they do is they bring to the forefront all of the things that other people are doing. So what that does is that that can create a spirit of like this, you know, comparison. And we're always comparing ourselves one with another. And the Bible says a person who does that is not wise. And in fact, and for those who, you know, who perhaps are new to social media, most things, I'd say 90% of things that people put on social media, that's not true either. They are, you know, like, and I'm the same. I'm not going to put up, you know, posts that are like, you know, when I just woke up in the morning, my eyes are half open. No, I'll spend about 10 minutes trying to take, you know, we take about 20 photos just to get one good one. That's how many photos we've got to take to try and get one good one out of this face. Hey, it's all right. My wife loves me. Hey, God loves me. I'm all good. But what I'm trying to say to you is that God's promise to us is that he loves you just the way you are. If he wanted you to be taller, he'd have made you taller. If he wanted you to have, you know, if he wanted you to have black hair versus brown hair, he'd have given you black hair. If he wanted you to have no hair, praise the Lord. But here's the point. God loves you. Just the way you are. He loves you for who you are today. And he'll love you for who you are tomorrow. And he'll love you for the person that you're on the journey to becoming. But God loves you right here, right now. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. God loves you now. And if God loves you now, then we can be content. Hey, I'm not trying to earn anything. I'm not trying to, you know, strive or struggle. No, I've got the peace of God. Contentment, by the way, the fruit of contentment is peace. Yeah. God is love, gives us contentment in the now. And number three, understanding that God is love gives us hope for tomorrow. Hope for tomorrow. 2 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7. Amazing. Just turn it down a little bit. Awesome. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. You know, I mean, recently, and even around the world, but recently, we've had some tragic events. I mean, we had this thing that happened just this week and last weekend in Sri Lanka. I mean, flip, this is terrible. It's terrible. At the same time, it's on the other side of the world. You know, like what I mean by that? It's terrible, absolutely. But it's over there. But of course, 4 weeks ago, we had this tragedy in Christchurch. Wonderful to have, by the way, to have a friend who is a pastor from New Plymouth in the Naki. And just wonderful to have you here. Come on, let's welcome her to church today. It's wonderful to have you here. In fact, you guys need to talk because we've got other pastors here from the Naki as well. You guys need to meet after church and exchange notes. But we had this tragedy in Christchurch. Christchurch. Something that's normally that normally occurs in the Middle East happened in the middle of Middle Earth. Christchurch. And, you know, I was in New Zealand. I was in Taupo, actually, on the day that it happened. I was there preaching at a conference over the weekend. And I was in the country when it happened. And can I tell you, the shock, the anger, the disbelief, but probably more than that, what most people were grappling with was the fear. This didn't happen across the world. This happened in our backyard. Then immediately you go, flip, if it can happen there. We all, the reason it struck a chord for all of us because immediately we say, if it happened there, maybe it can happen here. And so for all of us, me and leading of my family and the leading of this church, well, how do we respond to that, God? How do we reconcile that? Such a tragedy. And here's how we reconcile it. We understand that we don't know the future, but we know the God who holds the future. We understand that we can't control everything, but it's not our job to control everything. It's because God is in control. We are not in control. God is in control. And by the way, if God is in control, that's good news for you and I. Because if he is in control, like we heard earlier this morning, there will be trial and tribulation. But take heart, because God has already overcome the world. So how do we respond to that? We respond, we understand that our God is a God who is love. And our God will settle my yesterdays. And our God will give me the contentment that I need in the now, the peace I need to live every day of my life today. And he also will give me the hope to believe that the days that are before us are greater than the days that are behind us. That the latter days are greater than the former days. That if God still has breath in our lungs, then God's got something better for us around the corner. That our God is a God who is love, and therefore our God is a God of hope. Oh, come on forward, church. If you believe that this morning, give God a great big shout and praise. We have hope for tomorrow. We're not of those who live like they have no hope. We're not of those who are arrested by the events of the day. We know about the events of the day because the Bible already told us. And by the way, if you've read all the way to the end of book of Revelations, we already know how the story ends. We already know that Jesus is victorious. We already know that God has already won the battle. We already know that the enemy is defeated. We already know that. So let's not walk around with our heads down, kind of go, ooh. No, let's walk around with our heads tall. Saying, hey, if there's all these people going around going, ooh, there's a lot more opportunity for God's love to be expressed on the earth. You know the night, you know when the night is darkest? The night is darkest at dawn. Just before dawn is when the night is darkest. In other words, before the sunrise, the light of the sun comes up, just before that moment, it's the darkest moment of the night. I want you to know that there are some perilous times that we're living in. But the darkness of the night is only a sign that the brightness of God's light is about to rise in the name of Jesus. Come on. And if you're here today, and if you're in this room, and doesn't matter how you arrived here, doesn't matter what time you came, doesn't matter who brought you. If you're here today, you know the amazing thing about God, the creator of heaven and earth, is that God orchestrated a moment with you. And if you're here today, and you're saying that I don't know this God of love that you're talking about, and if you're here today, and you're saying, I once knew God, but I'm not right with God today. Or maybe you're saying that, look, I grew up in church, so I kind of know all about this churchy stuff and all this religion stuff. I want you to know that churchy and religion is not the same as having a relationship with Christ. I know I did it. I know. Because I grew up in the kind of church where people judged, you know, you were holy, you know, depending upon how you dressed. If you dressed holy, you were holy. Only to discover that God wasn't looking at the outside, God was looking at my heart. Come on. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you're here today and you're not right with God, the beautiful message of Christ is that He makes a way for everyone. There's not a single person on the planet who is outside of God's love. There's not a single person who is outside of God's forgiveness. There's not a single person who's outside of God's grace. Trust me, I know. Because if...
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to contribute to the work of Forward Church, or you'd like to learn how you can get connected, just go to forwardchurch.com.